Okay, we're back in Chumash, we're back in Parshat Kedoshim. Quick review of what we've said so far. We have been building up to Kedusha, to Parshat Kedoshim for a while now. Part of that buildup was the removal of all Tum'ot, being Metaher from all of those Tum'ot, coming into Parshat Kedoshim. We define Kedusha, we use kind of three modes by which to define Kedusha. Mode number one was through the uses of that root in various other forms, which indicated to us totally devoting oneself entirely to one thing. That was number one, based on the root of Kedusha. The second thing was by looking at its opposite, Chalal, Chol. We saw that Chol is devoid of something's essence, something's center, and therefore Kedusha must be being filled in one's core by that which is most essential. And then the last piece was the fact that it says, Kedoshim tiyu kikadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. God defines himself as Kadosh, that somehow Kedusha is quote-unquote godliness, and by merging all of those three together, we came to this multifaceted, this grander concept of what Kedusha is, as devoting oneself singularly to God and filling one's core with one's essence, which is godliness. Very lofty thing to attempt to achieve. And we went forward to see, well, what is the content of that? How do we develop that? Where does that go? And Rashi immediately said, well, what is Kedoshim to you? He says, Kedoshim to you is Purshim Yu Min Ha'areot Min Ha'avira. That the definition of Kedusha is, well, just look at the last paragraph. The last paragraph is the end of Parshat Achrimot. It's Parshat Ha'arayot. And so if Arayot is what's given over, and then on the contrasting background of Arayot, we're told, Kedoshim to you, then Kedusha, says Rashi, is very simple. I mean, it's not simple to do, but it's very simple to understand. Which is, kol makom shata motze geder erva. Anytime you find a fence around Arayot, there you'll find Kedusha. Because what's the goal of Kedusha? Is to singularly dedicate one's entire being, one's entire self, to godliness. And we talked last time, we developed it a little more, we talked it out a little bit more, that when one gives oneself over to somebody else that they're not supposed to, we're not talking about in the context of a marriage, where it's meant to be that way, where that's what God wants there to be a relationship, meaning that relationship with another person is still within the context of godliness. But any other relationship other than that, with the opposite gender, so there, one is choosing to funnel one's relationship energies to one thing as opposed to godliness. And that breaks our first fundamental definition of Kedusha, which is dedicated singularly to one thing. We talked about it even more. We brought it back to that kind of basic dichotomy that we've been developing in all of these shirim for close to 2 years now, which is the dichotomy of selflessness versus selfishness, which we're going to spend a little bit more time on today. And the reason why we've been spending 2 years developing this is because Judaism is about Kedusha, and it's at the center of Kedusha, so it's all one and the same thing. It's not by accident that the two are converging. Which is that while I may claim that the reason why I'm engaging in this relationship or in things that are us or within the context of this relationship is because I'm doing it for the other, which still would be problematic because the only other that's of significance is God. Even if I were to claim that it's for the other, really deep down, if it's not in the context of the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it, it's really for myself. And it's really the dichotomy of me, selfishness, or God, the ultimate selflessness. But we said we want to take it one step deeper, because it's not enough to stop at Arayot. The Ramban takes Rashi to task and says, no way, Rashi. I looked it up, and all that Chazal said, by Kedoshim to you, they said, defined it as Prushim to you. Where you threw in min ha'arayot min ha'avira? You made a great smicha to parshiot. I mean, you're not wrong. Yes, it came after the parsh of Arayos. But all the Chazal said was prushim to you. What are you doing limiting it to Arayos? It's everything like Arayos and food. And we wondered, what is this connection between Arayot and ma'achalot asurot, as it's referred to? What's the connection between Arayot and proper eating of Tikkun in the realm of food? If the Ramban is saying no, Kedusha isn't just limited to Arayos. Kedusha, meaning to turning away from Arayos. Kedusha is Prushim to you, separating yourself from all things. And it goes out of its way to identify two specific areas after doing that. Arayot and Ma'achalot Asurot. Asur relationships and food. Why then come back to those two things? How does that somehow create a paradigm shift? Where if I just would have said arayot, I might have misunderstood. But if I put arayot and ma'achalot asurot, then I'll understand. That somehow those two things coming together are way more significant than each one individually. That Ramban thinks that Rashi is wrong. Because it's Purushim to you from all things, and these two are going to be the paradigm. Not only are they going to be the paradigm here in Ramban, but they're going to be the paradigm in the Torah itself, which is the word Kadosh or Kedusha every time it talks about Machalot Asurot. Check it out. See there. Watch. Whether it's in Sefer Shmot, Vayikra, Devar, it doesn't matter. Whether it's a book revolving on Kedusha or not, every time it talks about Machalot Asurot, it will always mention the word Kedusha, even if it's out of context, even if it seems out of place. Chazal pick up on this. Hashkafah picks up on this. Kabbalah picks up on this. Chasidut picks up on this. Rambam picks up on this. Ramban picks up on this. Everybody seems to be on the same page, and yet we've never heard of this before. What's the meaning of the connectivity between these two things? What are they telling us about what Kedusha is about? So, in the spirit of Kol Makom Shatam Moseh Gedar Ev Hashem Otam Moseh Kedusha, we're going to deal with primarily Ma'achalot Asurot, and Hamevin Yavin, meaning you can use anything that we're saying about Ma'achalot Asurot. Anybody in this room, for sure, can easily cut and paste and figure out ways in which it would apply to the realm of arayot. But we're going to try to do it in a way of Kedusha as well. Okay? Clear? Let's jump in. Somebody had a question? What? Food pitch. It's not a pitch. Food is life and proper eating is life. And we'll talk about it today a little bit, yes.
We're getting rid of all the food.
Yeah, your B'dikas Chamis is going to feel a little different after this. Okay. I'm not going to scare anybody. The goal isn't to scare. The goal is to give things to strive for over a lifetime to achieve Kedusha. We're going to say it clearly. We're going to say it in the ideal. And we're going to work for it over a lifetime together. As one, Am Kadosh. That's what we're striving for. Tov. We're up to the big white empty hole in my nose where I was going to fill in between last time and this time. Okay, we're going to do it from years of working with people in this room, and we've developed these inyanim before, and I appreciate all of the work that went in to get to this point. Many sfarim, many different drashot from my rebbeim, and learning. We actually had learning for a whole semester on this inyan with a very, very special group of people around 2 years ago, before there was a midrashah. Perhaps from its sprout of the Midrasha. So we'll use those as our guides. These two areas of life are very unique. First of all, listening to the words of the Ramban, there was one last step. Listening to the words of the Ramban, we're moving into a whole different realm, says the Ramban. The way that the Ramban phrases it is, we put it up on the board last time, Shelo Yehei Naval Birshut HaTorah. That's the way the Ramban will phrase it. Sifrei Chasidut. We use different terminology indicating the same thing, which is Kadesh Atzmecha Bimutar. Not to take advantage of the Torah, or to take those things which are allowed to us, and to specifically use the word Kedusha there. Sanctify ourselves through that which is allowed to us. Meaning what we've entered into here is a totally different realm, and that's what the Ramban spells out a little bit as well. A whole different realm. Taking the inyan of food. Dealing with food, there are things which are clearly usur. There are things which are treif. And by the way, that's why, as I mentioned, for those who could really draw back, like 6 or 7 shirim ago, the first level of tum'ah that we dealt with, right after Nadav and Avihu sinned, what was the first thing dealt with in the context of tum'ah?
Animals.
Machalot asurot. Animals that are tamei. I said, we're not going to talk about that now, because that is a level of tum'ah that's on the external side of us, it's outside of us, it's outside of the human realm, and we say, don't take that into oneself. I said, we're not going to talk about food now, because that's in the realm of tum'ah. We're going to talk about food in the context of Kedusha. What's the difference between Tumah by food and Kedusha by food? They should be two sides of the same coin. The answer is not so simple. When we're dealing with Tumah by food, food that comes into me, that's Tameh, which will create blockages in my system, literal, physical, and spiritual. Because that food becomes a part of my body, a part of my physical essence and a part of my spiritual essence. As we saw, I think we quoted a few times, the Mishnah Brura in Siman Vav of Shulchan Aruch, where he talks about the fact that it's an amazing thing to see the Mishnah Brura inside. He says the physical part of the food sustains our bodies, and the spiritual side of the food sustains our souls. Black and white Mishnah Brura, according to Kabbalah, Mishnah Brura, black on white. Chafetz Chaim. That being said, so when I take in the tameh food, so my body becomes tameh, and there's tumah blocking my soul from reaching Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we didn't deal with food issues by ma'achalot asrot specifically, because that's in the realm of tumah. There are certain things which are asur. So first thing I need to do is get kosher food. I've got my kosher food, now I still need to rabbanan have one other thing to deal with. I need to say a bracha. The food is not mutter to me until I say that bracha. Interestingly, is anybody familiar with why Chazal require us to say that bracha?
It's not your
plasha. Good. Take it further. Combine them. What were you saying? What were you saying, Sharon?
It's stealing.
Stealing from what? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Hekdesh. Interesting terminology. We're stealing something kadosh if we don't say a bracha. And if I say a bracha, then I'm moving something which is kadosh from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's realm into my realm. Now at that point, it's not usher, it's not truth. I've said my bracha, so it's totally mutter to me, I can eat it. I should be done. Meaning Avodat Hashem, theoretically, stops at that moment. There is nothing else to do. You spent the extra money. You went to a kosher grocery store. You spent the extra money on that kosher meat. You paused for anywhere between 0.5 seconds and 3 seconds, and you said your bracha. Okay? One of my Shana Aleph Rebbe used to always say, he was say, how long does it take to say a bracha? He says, it depends on how long it takes for your fork to get from the plate to your mouth. Right? We'll talk about why that's anti-kedusha. He was mocking people for doing that. He wasn't like promoting that as the amount of time. At that point, it should be over. Says the Ravan, no. Then we have a different issue, which is lote naval birush tzara, what the chassidim will call kadesh asmechab mutar lecha. Now it's mutter. And the amazing thing is, what these pasukim, what this parsha is claiming, what this Ramban is claiming, what all of these Baalei Hashkafa are claiming, is that at this moment, when the Usur is taken care of, and we've done what we need to make it mutter, now, that's where Kedusha begins. That's not where Kedusha ends. Now we can start talking about Kedusha. Up until this point, there was nothing to talk about. It was Usur, it wasn't mutter, it is mutter. We're talking about Usur and mutter. Not talking about Kadosh. Only once we've dealt with that which is usser and made it mutter, now we can begin entering into the realms of Kiddusha. Says the Ramban on the line after we stopped it last time. Lefichach baha katuv. Therefore the pasuk comes. Acharei sheparat ha'isurim sha'asar otam legamrei. After talking about all the isurim. End of Parshat Shmini. Parshat Tazria, Parshat Mitzora, Parshat Achrimot, after all of the things that are usher, then v'tziva b'davar klali shenihye prushim min hamotarot, that when you enter into the realm of the mutar, now be kadosh by being parush. What does that mean? So the food's there now. Now how do we define Kedusha? We said we're going to pour content into it. How do we define Kedusha? I'm dedicated only to one thing. Completely dedicated to one thing. I'm filling myself with that one thing, with that content, which is that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You enter into this realm, and again, I'm going to say it in what comes off as harsh terms, perhaps, because Kedusha is very deep and very difficult. And this is stuff to aspire to. This is not anything which one should try to flick a switch and do tomorrow. My goal is that we should all, by the end of this shiur, and probably Wednesdays as well, by the end of these shiurim, we should know the goal, and every day work one step more getting to that goal. But until we know the goal, as frightening, somebody put it out, because frightening is exciting as it may be, it's a whole lifetime to get there, as exciting as it may be for it to be that far away from us, that every day we take one small step, to get closer and closer to the goal of Kedusha. If that's what Kedusha is, the real question of Kedusha is a question of, am I totally dedicating myself to God? Now, God told me that there are certain things I have to do. There are certain things I can't do, and there are certain things I must do. Am I doing that because God said that I have to do that? Or am I doing that because I am desperately, singularly focused on God and nothing else? That's the line between Osir and Mutter versus Kedusha. Once I get the kosher food, yes, sir, and I say the bracha, Mutter, now I have the opportunity for Kedusha. Because now there's no longer anything that's requiring me in a clear, definitive, halakhically defined way. As yeshiva students have meltdowns everywhere. Right? There's no halakhically clear, defined way about what I'm supposed to do next. In fact, I'm good. I read Shulchan Aruch. I learned Shulchan Aruch. There is nothing left for me to do. I'm done. Says Torah, no. Now you can start. If you're a real Eved or Ovedet Hashem, if you're somebody who's really striving to be an Oved or Ovedet Hashem, now the work can begin. Because before, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you had things you had to do. And perhaps, says God, you were taught in your day school, because you knew it was going to be over all generations, that if you don't do these things, you will end up going to Gehenna. And you're afraid to go to Gehenna. Or you were just mindlessly taught that you do mitzvot since you were born. Do mitzvot. That's what we're supposed to do. Why? It doesn't matter. Just do it. Done. So the answer is fine. I did it. The phrase is great. That's nice. That's wonderful. But you haven't entered Kedusha. Kedusha is when there's no longer anything left to do, am I choosing to still be singularly focused on God? And it's such a fine realm to live in. It's such a murky place. It's such a blurry place because personal, real, meaningful things always are. Always are. Where now I'm standing there and I have the food on the end of my fork and it's kosher and I said a bracha and I could either totally focus on myself, on my taste buds, on my stomach, on feeling physically good, I'm totally focusing on nothing else but satisfying my physical desires, and I'm not doing anything else, sir. And it's totally mutter. But I'm focusing only, singularly, selfishly on myself. The second I no longer have to think about God, I show my true colors. I don't mean to say it in a harsh way. I'm saying this is the ideal. This is the kind of harsh reality, the black and white reality that we strive to achieve a reality of in ourselves. But I walk away and I say, I'm done now, and now I'm going to focus on what I really care about, which is me. I'm going to choose what I find tastiest. And I'm going to eat until my stomach is totally satiated. And I'm going to focus on what I want, even if I'm still full, so that might be an issue of eating too much. Fine. But I'm going to keep eating if it tastes good. I don't care if this food is invigorating me or harming me. If it tastes good, I'm going to eat it. Because it's mutter. And the answer is yes. You fulfilled the asur mutter, but one then has not yet begun Kedusha. Kedusha is, now that I'm out of it, I'm going to show you, God, I am lovesick for you, as the Rambam talks about, that I'm chole chole ahava, is the words of the Rambam, my manus. I'm lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so I'm endlessly just mentally thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. And I'm never letting up. So even though the food's kosher, even though I said the bracha, all I can think about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can I make this about you? How do I make this about you? How do I do that? So we'll give some examples of things to think about. And everybody can take their own path to Kedusha, and everyone's path to Kedusha is different. I'm standing there in the cafeteria. And I have two options in front of me. I can go and I eat a snack. I'm between classes. There's the really, really good-looking candy bar. And there's the really, really kind of awkwardly healthy-looking apple, shining brightly and glistening in the distance. Right? Which one do I go for? Well, they're both kosher, and I know what bracha to say on both of them. And my mouth and my stomach are telling me, and the addiction in my brain is probably telling me, go for the sugar, go for the chocolate, go for the candy. Now, the candy, at the end of the day, this is not really disputed amongst anybody who knows anything about health. I even feel silly saying that, but I don't want to make any definitive health claims. I'm not a nutritionist. But, like, welcome to the world. Eating sugar is one of the most damaging things that a person can do to their body. Processed sugar. Now we're not talking healthy, natural sugars and fruits. One of the most damaging things a person can do to their bodies on so many levels. But it tastes so good. And it's not usur. And I said by bracha, so it's mutter. But by choosing that, I'm avoiding the essential question, which is, what is my avodah Hashem right now? Is what I want to do right now is to excite my taste buds, to make my sugar spike, to get that high for a few minutes, for half an hour, for an hour from the sugar, and then crash horribly and need another fix? Or do I go for the apple and embrace the beauty of what Kadosh Baruch Hu put in this world and eat something which is going to invigorate my body, give my body health, invigorate me toward Avodas Hashem? And suddenly my decision between two mutter things went from being about my mouth and my stomach to being about God. That's really wild. That's really crazy. That's really difficult. That's really obsessive. That's really dedicated. That's really focused. That's really godly. That's really kadosh. Taking those moments where I could be focused on myself and choosing of my own complete free will with nothing extrinsic pushing me to choose God. And there are levels upon levels upon levels. Kedusha isn't just acquired by acquiring an apple over a candy bar. Right? There are levels upon levels. The Svarim, you can look into these on your own. Read Svarim about Kedusha. Read Prakim in Svarim about Kedusha. Then when I'm sitting there and I have that apple and I choose that apple, that when I take that bite after I've said my bracha, that with every explosion of beautiful taste on my taste buds, in my mind, I'm praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thinking to myself, God, I have to eat. It's a necessity of life. I have no choice but to eat. And just like a car, which needs fuel to survive, to move, to keep going, you could have made it taste like gasoline. And I still would have had to eat it, or I would die. But you chose to make this myriad of beautiful, amazing tasting fruits. An orange, and an apple, and a kiwi, and a passion fruit, and a watermelon. All these different things. And as I'm feeling, as I'm tasting these amazing tastes in my mouth, of this beauty that you've put in this world, thank you for making these glorious plethora of tastes to give me enjoyment to this, so that way I could thank you more for what you've given me. How hard am I working when I eat to subjugate my body? To subjugate the physical, to be parush in a way, not by not eating. We talked about last time that Judaism is neither the priest nor the Buddhist on the mountain. Parushim to you doesn't mean don't eat. It's saying while I'm eating, what's happening? Then when I choose to eat, by choosing the apple over the candy bar, that's precious. I'm separating myself from the physical world, from my physical self, in a way that's negative. I'm separating myself from the negative aspects of the physical world. Here's another way of preshoot, of subjugating my physicality while I'm doing the eating. I got this from an amazing individual. I don't know if you would want me to say his name. So I'm not going to say his name. An amazing individual. He's actually my former sensei, currently living in Yerushalayim. An amazing man. So when I went to go visit him in Yerushalayim a few years ago, he was in a particular chabur where they were working on the Inyan of Kedusha, because kacha, that's very much him. And he shared with me an exercise that they were working on. I'm not even going to give you the whole exercise. I'm going to give you a part of the exercise. Try this at your next meal and watch how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us to work with in the realm of Kedusha. Part of the exercise that he learned in this chabur, which he passed along to me, was as follows. That next time, he's going to be like, that's it? The answer is yes, that's it. Next time you're sitting in front of a plate of food, put your fork in and take a bite. While you're chewing that bite, exerts the tremendous mental energy on your hand to keep it from picking up the next bite of food until you finish chewing and swallowing the food that's in your mouth. It is super difficult. And it's really frightening in that moment when you're actively trying to fight your hand from going into the next bite of food, that we all come to realize how little we've subjugated our physical selves and how much we have to work in the realms of Kedusha. And that was only a part of the exercise. Tremendous physical energy. Tremendous emotional energy to do that. Because our bodies rule us in ways that we don't realize. And it's specifically, we could go more and more into food, and I know that some of you are waiting for it, and we could talk about it more on offline or another time. That's all we're going to really go into food. But there are levels upon levels upon levels. If you want to talk about it afterward, we can. I could talk about this for my whole life. I love talking about these things, and so those of you who know me know that. So we could talk about it more, but for the purposes of our shiur, not to get lost from the fact that we are learning Chumash, that's as far as we're going to go in that realm. But if you want to talk to me about it later, come talk to me about it later. In these two realms of life, Arayot and Machalot Asurot, there are two realms where two things are incredibly important. One is, without either of these two things that we talked about with food, I can't survive. I will not survive. I will not continue, either literally or in terms of those that come after me. I will come to an end, one way or another, without these two realms. So I have to do them. And it comes down to, okay, but how do I do them? And more importantly, what or who am I focused on while I'm doing them? Because the second thing is that there are the two realms of life where after I've avoided that which is usur and only chosen to engage that which is mutter, once I'm now involved in that activity, like eating, in a mutter way, the only two people, so to speak, in quotes, who know what actually is going through my mind, what I'm actually focused on while I'm doing that thing, the only two, quote-unquote, people who know what's going on in the deepest chambers of my heart are myself and God. Nobody else knows. Everybody sees me picking the kosher food. Everybody sees me saying the bracha. Even though it's mute, fine, so I do it quietly on my own. But people can't see it. But while I'm chewing that food, how slowly I'm chewing that food to really get every bit of energy out of it and take advantage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, another area of Kedusha, if there's something to work on, chewing slowly, not just swallowing the food whole, but actually chewing and enjoying the food. How long am I chewing for? Am I praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my mind? What food choices I'm making and why? Nobody knows why I'm making the choices that I'm making. There's so many reasons out there to choose different foods, especially this Zman Hazeh. 18 million different reasons to choose a food that you're choosing. The only one who really knows is you and God. That's it. That's it. In your heart was not accidental choice of words. As we've been talking about many times throughout the Shemot Shirim, and we've also drawn into the Vayikra Shirim, we're told when we build the Mishkan, Va'asu li mikdash v'shachanti v'tocham v'toch kol echad v'echad, that every single one of us inside have our own mini Mishkan, have our own mini mikdash. And this is the reality that not just stands at the center of Parsha Kedoshim, in the center of Torah, in the center of Sefer, in the center of Kol HaTorah Kula, but it stands at the center of the Beit HaMikdash. And the Beit HaMikdash, I have to walk through the Azara, and then I go to the Kodesh, intentionally chosen, that name, and then I go into the deepest chamber of all, which is called the Kodesh HaKodeshim. What stands in the center of the Kodesh HaKodeshim? The Kruvim. Two angelic figures. And those Kruvim have one function, and that is, when B'nai Yisrael do Ratzon Hashem, they gaze lovingly at each other. And when B'nai Yisrael are not doing Ratzon Hashem, they gaze away from each other. The entire question at the centerpiece of Torah, at the centerpiece of reality, on top of the Eben HaShtia, in the center of the Kodesh HaKodeshim, The singular question of life is, am I gazing at God lovingly, or have I turned away from Him? And there are only two things inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There is the representative of myself in one of the Kruvim, and there's the representative of Kadosh Baruch Hu in the other one of the Kruvim. And nobody else knows. Nobody else knows. What defines the context of that relationship is the Torah. That's Usser and Mutter. That's why the Kruvim are bound together by the Luchot, by the Arum. They always remain bound by the Arum because we're bound by that Brit. But on top of that, hovering above that, the more elevated level of what being in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is about are those Kruvim with the Parsek Nafayim Lamala, with their wings spread out. On top of that, above the baseline keeping of Halacha, above the Asr and the Mutter, above the Aseret HaDibrot, above the Arum, and asking the fundamental question, am I looking at God or am I not looking at God? Zeh. Am I in a singular, devoted relationship to God? Is God filling my essence? Am I gazing at Him and is He gazing at me? Or not? Are we filling ourselves with each other? Or are we looking the other way and full of ourselves? The most fundamental question of reality. Why these two realms? These two realms are hinted to from the very beginning of creation itself. We're spending all of the history of the world fixing that which was broken. What was the original thing that broke? Where did things start to break apart? All the way at the beginning. Where? By Adam and Chava. Now the obvious thing by Adam and Chava is what was the sin? What do we call it? Chetz? Eitz Hadaat Tov V'Ra. Chetz HaMarishon. What did they do? The world was broken through improper eating. And the deepest tikkun that we can make is through proper eating. For Chava, it looked great. The snake sounded like he was right. Nachash is whispering in our ear through so many different mediums, Bizman Hazeh, trying to tell us that certain things are really good for us when they're not. Eat this, it's good. It looked good. It felt good. It sounded good. It tasted good. But it wasn't good. And the pasuk that directly precedes the Nachash saying, you should probably try that fruit. While it's a little bit of an obscure pasuk, it reads as follows. It reads, Vayushnam Arumim, the two of them weren't wearing any clothing. Hadam Vishto, man and his wife, Velo Yit Boshashu, and they were not embarrassed. Unclear exactly what that means, but Chazal pick up on that and assume that something, very fine, we're talking about Adam Arishon. We don't mess with Adam Arishon. On whatever level it meant to him and her, Chava, something in the nature of the physicality of their relationship, something was off. Something was off. And that leads to the next pasuk, which while the non-Jews divide them into two topics, the Torah has this one narrative, no break in the text. Vanachash haya arum, again, intentionally using that word to draw these pasukim together. Did God tell you not to eat from that tree? Let's talk about eating. You already messed up in one area, let's talk about eating. Two sides of the same coin, one pasuk back to back. These are the two areas that broke the world. These are the two deepest ways in which we can fix the world. They're the ways which we focus. We focus everything on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, giving one example from Halot HaSurot, it's one of my favorite Gemarot of all time. It's just like, it's like mind-blowing. And like, I imagine so many people just reading it through and like, whatever. Mind-blowing Gemara. Gemara, unsurprisingly, in Masechet Ta'anit. Very short line in the context of a very beautiful, multifaceted discussion about eating itself, whether it's better to engage it or stay away from it. The answer is it's both. It depends on what your kavanas are. And it's a complicated Gemara, and you can see it inside there. The Gemara appears in Masechet Ta'anit, Daf, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, going on to Yud Aleph Amud Bet. The Amar Rabbi Lazar, listen to the words here. L'olam yimod adam atzmo. A person should always measure themselves very carefully. How so? Ki'ilu kadosh sharoi betoch me'av. Ilu Kadosh Sharoi Betoch Mea. As if Kadosh is living in one's stomach. Could it be more overt? What does Kadosh mean? So Rashi understands that in the ideas of Kedusha, Tosafot's like very simple. I'll tell you what Kadosh here means. Says Tosafot, first word, he says, Mada Kadosh? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tosafot doesn't mean any words. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is living in your stomach. Which sounds ridiculous. Unless you understand what Kedusha is about. My center of my being. My reality, whether or not my reality is centered, and there's a lot in terms of Eastern thinking that stands around this, the Tatian, the center of the being, the core, all about the core. Everything is always about the core. If my core is centered, if my core is balanced, everything will flow from there. It's all about my core. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes into me that way. Because either I'm making space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu through my eating, and I'm bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into myself, or not. And if that's definitional Kedusha, Arayot and Machalot Asurot, that's definitional Kedusha, and it goes all the way back to the Yitzhak Tovara. Who are the people that have to do that tikkun? Who have to make that tikkun? Who is it on? Whose shoulders is it on to make that tikkun? Not a trick question. The Jewish people. And that's what we're told, Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. But that means that God had to make that very clear from the moment of our inception. And while I would not necessarily have gone this route if we weren't standing on the brink of Pesach, which we are, it's only a few days away, on Pesach we become the Jewish people. When God passes over our houses, when God takes us out of Egypt, phrase it differently, when God takes us out of Egypt, we're told that it's in the schut of two things that God takes us out. Anybody know what two things? It's one thing with two different expressions. Well, that's for sure. What were you saying? Somebody else said it? Say louder. No, you said that also. Good. Somebody else said something else. Bris Milah. Good. Two types of dam. Bris Milah and?
Dam Pesach.
Interesting. The two things that got us out of Egypt and made us into a people are Milah and Pesach. The only time we say a unique bracha on a food is on Pesach. When we become a people, we make a tikkun ha'achila. Asher k'deshanu b'sav tzivanu al achilat matzah. Where else do you have that? It's a mitzvah to eat this food. This food which lowers itself down. This food which doesn't have any yeast, it doesn't rise, it has no ego, it has nothing extra. Al achilat matzah. There's a mitzvah in achila. Through the Pesach. The matzah is eaten with the Pesach. And Bris Milah. And Bris Milah is all about, the Mitzvah Shkafah is all about taking that reality of a person and saying from the moment that it's born, you, child, are going to dedicate yourself singularly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the hardest of ways possible, focusing yourself on Kedusha. And that's why it has to be on what day? Yom HaShmini, the same day that the Mishkan went up. A lot more to say there. Right? Not inviting you, but join us at the Bris. Right? These two things have to be present at the moment we become a people. Because we are a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. And if that's the ikar fixing of the world, of what broke at Gan Eden, the ikar fixing of the world is coming through us, it becomes part of us as a people, and that's why we're able to be commanded that we should be a Goy Kadosh. That our centerpiece of reality is Kiddusha. That our focus as a people is Kiddusha. That our focus as a people is to lovingly gaze at a Kadosh Baruch Hu always, as Rambam says, chole ava, to be lovesick for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to work ourselves up, to just not be able to stop thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no longer in our lives through the realms of Asar and Mutter, he's in our lives through the realm of Kiddusha. That I'm filling my life, I'm filling my essence, I'm showing that I'm totally dedicated to God. I'm showing that I actually have content. I'm not only skin deep. I'm not only doing mitzvot. In my depth, I am full of godliness, and that godliness is what I'm focused on. Those are our three sides of that definition. And these realms, more than anything else.
B'shatul mitzlachat. If you have questions about this, talk to Shoshana when you're getting married.
How that works in the context of a marriage. But all the things we talked about, food, need to be understood in the context of a marriage. Need to be understood in the context of a marriage. A kadosh marriage is taking everything that we talked about and applying that here as well. You talk to that with your college teacher. If she doesn't talk about it, you talk about it with Shoshana. I'm volunteering her once she gets off maternity leave. So it's fine. None of you, as far as I know, are engaged anyway. So fine. Get engaged a month from now. Get a month after that. So fine. So when you work in these two realms, to totally, impossibly, because there are things, there are areas where we're so focused on us, where we're inherently built to focus on the self, and I rip myself away from me, I dig out that space in myself, and I open myself up to make myself a vessel to receive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. That's the goal. We talked about it from Adam HaRishon. We talked about it from Yitzchak Mitzrayim. We talked about it through the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This could take 6 or 7 more shirim, but we're going to run out of semester pretty soon. So I tried to condense it into one. The last piece that I want to talk about is that that's all very lofty, and it's all very difficult to work on. So first of all, again, over the course of a lifetime, and I'm happy to help, especially in the realm of food, any of you who want to develop thinking about food critically and being Kodesh in the realm of food. I struggle with it every day. For the people who think that I put myself on a high horse, I struggle with it every day. And I work on it every day. And I still have a long way to go. Just because I know about it doesn't mean I do it. It's in chachma. It's not yet in daft. I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm not yet kadosh. We're all working toward it. Okay? We can work on it together. But the one thing that I want to do is I think, and I went back and forth in my mind over the last week, just even thinking about how many more shirim to dedicate to this topic. What I want to do next time, not to minimize it, but in my mind actually to elevate it by giving it more of a grounding. Because in Judaism, we can pull in both directions at the same time. To elevate it by grounding it, is I want to actually walk through this whole process that we've been talking about, of receiving tumot, removing tumot, adding and creating a reality of tahara, staying away from things that would enter that hole in a way that would be mechalel it, and instead bringing kedusha. I want to talk about them in terms of interpersonal relationships. Because the microcosm of this grand relationship that we have are the mutter relationships we have. We can't talk about it as openly because we can't talk about the explicit husband and wife relationship. But even with friends, or parents, or whoever, all relationships have these aspects to them. And in the hopes of maybe grounding it a little bit more, and then extrapolating from that to our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch, I want to talk, we're not really going to use any text, but just talk out what it means to really be in a relationship that's in a Kadosh place. We'll talk about it a little bit more, and then after Pesach, we'll begin to wrap up Sefer Vayikra, as wild as that is, with sort of the last stage, meaning what could possibly come past Kedusha. We've achieved the apex, where it should be at the Vayikra should end with Parsha Kedusha. We have to understand then how the last three Parshiot actually close out the Sefer, sort of as one unit. We'll do that, Bezrat Hashem, after Pesach vacation. So next time we'll end Parsha Kedusha, and we'll go into Emor, Bezrat Hashem, in a couple weeks.